The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And good afternoon and welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. This clinic, as well as our companion annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, which, by the way, is now the largest Women's Healthcare Symposium in the United States, are both supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to save lives and protect families by making you a lay expert on the specific medical issues pertinent for you. This leads to better partnering with your existing physician with more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. Our educational programs use dynamic and interactive informal conversations with expert physicians speaking plain English to identify a breakthrough for you. And today's clinic is on breast MRI, digital mammography, and other women's imaging. And with me today is a great pleasure to have diagnostic radiologist Dr. Ted Cardoso. Ted, welcome aboard.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Great. And let's give our listeners some background on Ted. Ted has received his fellowship and residency in radiology at the Mallinckrodt Institute of Radiology at the Great Washington University School of Medicine. He did his undergraduate degree at the Medical College of Virginia, and he received his medical degree from the Medical College of Virginia's undergraduate degree here in Tampa at the University of South Florida. And by the way, one of the reasons why I mentioned or I endorsed the Washington University is because I was there as an undergraduate, and I know, Ted, you enjoyed St. Louis as well as Washington University as much as I did.
Wonderful town.
In addition, Ted had additional training at the Toronto Hospital for Sick Children, the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and the Duke University Medical Center. He has a score of honors, which I won't repeat all here, other than selection to the Alpha Omega Alpha Medical Honor Society at the Medical College of Virginia in 1983. His hospital affiliations include Memorial Hospital of Tampa, a great hospital where I spend a lot of my time as well as the South Florida Baptist Hospital. And once again, Ted, it's great to have you here. And I think as we begin this, if you would be kind enough to share with our listeners, number one, what a radiologist does What's the perspective of a radiologist? How does a radiologist interface with other physicians, that is, surgeons and internists?
It's a broad question, and it may differ from one radiologist to another. But in essence, we will review studies that the patients have done, whether it's a plain X-ray or more modern and difficult examinations such as CAT scans or MRIs, mammograms, ultrasound, the whole spectrum, and in looking at the patient studies, try to put the history of why the patient had the examination done, and then try to give the patient's physician and the patient an idea of what may be causing the patient's symptoms, what brought the patient to the medical attention.
So what you focus on is diagnostic radiology. Is that correct?
That's correct. I guess I should start out by saying that a lot of people, there is a little confusion because there's a branch of medicine called radiation therapist or therapeutic radiologist. And that's an individual that treats cancers by using radiation, much higher doses of radiation than what are used for diagnostic radiologists. But that's a completely different specialty. In many ways, it's similar to an oncologist, a medical oncologist who uses chemotherapy to treat tumors.
And sometimes they're referred to as radiation oncologists.
Exactly. Yeah, we use much smaller doses of radiation at times, and other times, such as in ultrasound and MRI, no radiation whatsoever, to try and look inside the body. I think the best analogy that I can give you is that if in the 60s or 70s, if you had pain or some symptom that required the surgeon to operate you and look inside, there was a term for that. It was a laparotomy, the exploratory laparotomy. The surgeon opened you up to find out what was actually wrong with you. Radiology, the whole branch of radiology, has essentially replaced that. It's rare for a surgeon. It happens, but it's much less common nowadays for a surgeon to go in to and attempt to find out what's going on and then fix it. Most of the time now, with the various tools that we have for looking inside the body before surgery, the surgeons can plan what they're going to do and have a good idea, and the patients themselves have a good idea of what to expect after surgery. So, and many times, obviously, by looking inside, you can also prevent a patient from having surgery if it's not required.
So the technology today has enabled medicine physicians to perhaps hold off a little bit and visualize without an incision and hopefully diagnose what's wrong, to better arm the surgeon or better arm the internist into how the appropriate treatment should unfold.
Absolutely. And in fact, it's not a little bit. It's really a lot. The overwhelming majority of patients can now undergo their workup with one of these modern imaging methods. And unless it's something that specifically needs to be treated by surgery, they can be treated without having to undergo an incision and things like that.
Okay, now, so would you say in all cases the patient is sent to you, the radiologist, for a particular study? Can a patient go right to a radiologist for a study that they would like to have?
No. Most of the time, patients have to be referred by a physician before a radiologist will see them and have a prescription written for that particular examination. The one exception of which I'm aware is screening mammography. Women can go for a screening mammogram without a physician's referral. Not all institutions will accept that, but many will take patients just walking off the street to have that done
right,
without requiring a prescription.
Now, are there times when a physician, I imagine that surgeons and internists often would confer with you to identify the best, most efficient and sensitive and specific test that's indicated with the symptoms that the patient is dealing with?
Yes, many times it happens. It happens more in the hospital setting versus, let's say, an outpatient imaging center where there's not as close contact, which is, frankly, one of the reasons why I enjoy working at a hospital much more than I do at an imaging center, because you don't have that same close contact. The field of radiology, of imaging, has expanded tremendously, even in the 20 years or so that I've been a radiologist. And part of that is that we have essentially followed the advancements in computing power over the past couple of decades, so that as computer chips become more powerful and allows us to see, for example, a little bit deeper or a little bit smaller in the body than we could before, we essentially have been seeing the very same advancements in imaging over the past 20 years or so.
So with that advancement in technology, I imagine we're able to pick up lesions, pick up disease at an earlier stage, and maybe explain some symptoms the patient has, whereas perhaps years ago, these same patients may have gone without diagnosis.
That's absolutely true. But I also should point out just the opposite, is that we now we're almost having an opposite problem. Yes, we're picking up lots of cancers and lots of diseases relatively early, and where patients are more or can be cured, as opposed to waiting for something to show up as a lump or spread to another part of the body and be incurable. But I have to admit that there's an opposite problem that we have, is that we're now picking up or detecting things inside the body that are sometimes normal or sometimes something that's not normal, but it's not going to harm you. And I think a good physician also learns over time when to ignore some things inside that may not need surgery or special follow-up.
So this is a great example. If the radiology study picks up what you know to be a normal variant, because you're looking at this stuff every day, and the non-radiologist doesn't have as much experience with the new techniques, the more sensitive techniques, it becomes important to have good communications between the physician who orders the procedure and the radiologist, help sort out what is a normal variant and what needs to be moved ahead on.
That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the rest of the hour we're gonna focus on initially, at least, the breast, and discuss breast MRI, digital mammography. And what we'll do is we're gonna take a real quick break here and come back in a flash and start talking about diagnosis, early diagnosis, and with the latest technology. We'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Are you ready to stop the bleeding in your financial portfolio? Hi, I'm Steve Skegis, inviting you to tune in every Saturday afternoon at 2 as my co-host Michael Serio and I discuss simple truths about your money. We'll discuss current economic news and events and how you can protect your financial future with safe, effective retirement solutions. Remember, it's your money. So join me, Steve Skegis, this Saturday at 2, right here on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, and welcome back. Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm with guest expert Dr. Ted Cardoso, who's a diagnostic radiologist. And we're going to initially focus on breast MRI, mammograms, digital mammograms, and such. And for any one of you out there, whether it be for yourself or a family member, loved one, neighbor, friend who is not aware of this program and has a question on whether it be early diagnosis or follow-up of breast cancer, post-surgery or post-therapy and so on, please feel free to call. We're here to help you. And don't hesitate, because this is what we're all about. We're here to find a breakthrough. Although we're not practicing medicine, we're here to find a breakthrough for you and help you and your family. The numbers locally are 289-1860. And if you're streaming live around the world, we're 877-969-8600. And again, we encourage you to go ahead and call. We will address your question, and hopefully we will make a difference for you. So, Ted, let's start with the basics. There's now, I understand, digital mammography. Everyone is familiar with the conventional mammogram. How does digital mammography differ from conventional mammography? If you could compare it and tell us if it is better, in what way?
Okay. Well, let's backtrack and let's all begin at the same place. Mammography. It's where a picture is taken of the breast tissue, and it's now been shown, literally, we've got 30, 40 years of data to show that it's the single best test, at least for a screening population, for detecting cancer early. It's not perfect. Its sensitivity for detecting cancer varies on how dense a woman's breast is. And that generally correlates with the age of a woman, although not always. But in general, the younger the woman, especially premenopause, the denser the breast, and hence the slightly less sensitive that mammography will be. For those women with dense breasts, mammography picks up 6 out of 10 cancers.
That's conventional mammography.
That's conventional mammography. And for women whose breasts are mostly fatty replaced with relatively little density, which happens as women become older, and especially after menopause, mammography picks up probably around 90% of cancers.
And you find the same thing true for women after they've had children, where you have an increased sensitivity?
You mean?
As the breasts thin out. And
As they get older, although in the immediate period after they've had children, it's mammography is terrible. Their breasts are so engorged and dense from milk production that mammography is just not very good at all. So in those women, we probably would use something else. But anyway, to summarize, so that's mammography. And traditionally, an X-ray beam, low energy, is shot through the breast, and a film is placed behind the breast and captures an image or a photograph, if you will, of the breast tissue. That's conventional film screen mammography, which has been the gold standard since the 70s.
Okay.
In the past decade, a new modality has come about. It's still mammography. It's still the same X-ray beam being shined through the breast. But at the back end, instead of having a film, and I guess analogous to photography, instead of having a film in your camera, we now have electronic receptors or detectors, and that's what makes digital mammography. The advantage is that by having the electronic detectors, you can do electronic maneuvering of the information, post-processing, et cetera, and get slightly different characteristics to the image than you can get on a film. Mm. On a film, once you take it, you're stuck with the way it came out, no different than photography.
Like a two-dimensional?
Yes, the image that you have is just like on a conventional Polaroid image.
Right.
What appears here is what you've got, whereas with digital mammography, what you've got there is like looking at a picture on a TV monitor so that you can change the density, you can change the contrast and so forth. And where digital mammography, I think, at the moment, it's been shown to be more sensitive in women with dense breasts and young women. So, and generally, that's often the same group.
So, do you feel that conventional mammography is on the way out and will be replaced largely by the digital mammography?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Has that already happened?
In some parts of the country, it has, and I think it's parts that have more access to modern equipment and so forth. But the difference, I don't want to overstate the difference. The difference is relatively small. So certainly if you don't have access to digital mammography, you absolutely still need to get a film screen mammogram. That's still the best thing of it around.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what is computer-aided diagnosis?
That's another development that's now about a decade old. Some people refer to it by the acronym of CAD, C-A-D, for computer-aided diagnosis. The image that's captured, either on film for conventional mammography or on a digital mammogram on a monitor, is evaluated by an automated computer program that looks for certain characteristics of cancers.
Okay.
And in general, at the moment, it probably detects an additional 5 to 10% of cancers, depending on the manufacturer, the program, and so forth. So I think we're going to get a little ahead, but I think if we're giving patients advice of where to have their mammograms done, I would say call and find out if they have digital mammography that tells you that that particular center or hospital has spent a little bit of extra time and money investing in new technology, and also ask whether they have computer-aided diagnosis available. That's also an extra expense for the institution, but it does pick up an additional number of cancers.
Well, that's significant for those people, absolutely. What do you say to a patient who thinks that the mammogram hurts them or it's uncomfortable, you don't want to have it? Is there something that could replace it for those folks?
That's a great question. Every once in a while, we'll see a woman who refuses to have a mammogram because it hurts her. On a mammogram, before shooting the film, I neglected to say that the breast is actually compressed to make it as thin as possible, and that's done so that we can maximize the ability to pick up a cancer. What I would say to those women is that mammography is still crucial, and if they will work with the technologists performing the study, and if they feel uncomfortable with one technologist because they're handling them rough or they're compressing too much, let them know, ask for another technologist. But I think getting the mammogram is still the best way of finding a cancer at an early stage, and I would not skip it. There's no other test at the moment that can replace it, at least on an entire population basis. We'll talk a little bit later on about MRI, which is a great test for finding cancer, and it's much more sensitive mammography, but it's just too expensive, and it's not something that can be applied to a general
device.
Exactly.
A couple quick questions. When you have a mammogram, are the patients typically given something to relax them?
No.
A Valium or what?
No, although there's the occasional patient who will ask her doctor for something like that because they've had a bad experience. But I think as technologists have become better trained over the years, that happens less and less. I just want a quick anecdote. I just recently saw a patient who gave us that same story. She never wanted to have a mammogram. Finally, she felt a lump a couple of months ago, and unfortunately, she has a cancer that probably could have been picked up 3 or 4 years before had she been having mammograms.
Okay, we'll be right back with more on breast cancer detection with advanced imaging studies with Dr. Ted Cardosa on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare program. We'll be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama says he's been seeing positive signs on a range of issues from both Cuba and Venezuela during his trip to Latin America. He's been speaking at a news conference wrapping up the 34-nation summit of the Americas. Mr. Obama says the real test for improved U.S.-Cuban relations, though, is actions, not words. Lawmakers in Washington say much the same thing. Senator Lindsey Graham telling Fox News today Cuba needs to release its political prisoners and, quote, then we'll talk. There's a report that some gunmen have captured two foreign aid workers in central Somalia, taken them prisoner. There's no hint that the abduction may be linked to the recent surge in piracy off Somalia's coast, however. And the top U.S. general in Afghanistan says U.S. and NATO forces are working hard to minimize civilian deaths in the fight against militant forces, but he admits there can be mistakes and says, quote, for that I apologize. More details at SRNnews.com.
It was a cross-country tea party.
You're happily ignoring the limits that our founding fathers put on our federal government.
One of the largest single-day protests in American history.
We've been taxed so much and we're not going to take it any longer.
Has the government got what it takes, or will the government take what you've got?
When you spread the wealth around, it's good for it.
In D.C., they continue to borrow and spend.
Now, more than ever, we're brewing up economic freedom right here. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Kim Commando here, reminding you to enter my spring stimulus giveaway. Digital camcorders, laptops, cameras, phones, and more. Over $40,000 in great digital gear. Enter daily at spring.commando.com. Just like the pet shop that held a competition to win a parrot, no purchases are necessary. Get it? No purchases. All right.
Kim Commando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on her new radio home in Tampa Bay. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And Ted, we were talking before about mammograms, and off off air, I would ask Ted about three-dimensional mammograms. And Ted, why don't, if you would be kind enough to share that future development.
Yeah, there is already in development and being tried at academic centers a modality that's very similar to mammography, but in addition to using X-rays and digital technique to capture the film, as we've always done, it has a way of taking individual sections of the breast, pictures of individual sections of the breast that can be stacked and made into a whole image, sort of analogous to what computed tomography does. And I think that'll also allow us to see earlier lesions in the breast. I can see that happening, becoming widespread in the next 3 to 5 years.
So that could be a so-called computerized mammography.
Right, with tomographic technique, essentially, is the term that's used.
And that could potentially be used as a screening device, increasing sensitivity.
It will. It will be used as screening. It should not be a lot more expensive than conventional mammography.
Now, you also mentioned that here off air that the way things are done now with mammograms, you rarely ever anymore have a woman who has difficulty having a mammogram because they, quote, hurt.
Right. That's right. I think that doesn't happen very often. I did mention that patient that that I
has to deal with a significant cancer now because she was reluctant to and did not obtain her early screening.
Exactly. But other than that, I have to say I do not know of another patient in the past year that to whom that's happened.
Now, how about women with breast implants? Obviously, those breasts cannot be compressed like a non-implant containing breast. Do you number one, can they be ruptured by a mammogram? Does the existence of an implant affect your sensitivity with a mammogram?
Great set of questions. And the answer is that women with implants can undergo mammography. They're done all the time.
And that doesn't matter. Excuse me. That doesn't matter if it's silicone or saline.
Or saline. It does not matter. Probably, nor whether the implant is directly under the breast or behind the muscle, which is further
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
They can all undergo it. There's always concern. We're always called and asked, hey, do you think that the implant will rupture? If that happens, it's so uncommon that I've not seen it happen. Now, the problem is that how do you know when an implant ruptured? But you have to understand that the way that the images are obtained is that the breast is actually squeezed away from the implant, and then it's placed in the paddles and compressed. So,
okay.
And in fact, we have to do that because if the implant is in the way, we won't be able to see the breast under it. So the occurrence of implant rupture from a mammogram is just it's largely a myth. And yes, women with implants can undergo mammography, and they should. Does it decrease the sensitivity? To some extent, it does. There are certain areas of the breast, particularly deep in the breast, that we don't see very well, and that's true more of implants that are immediately behind the breast versus under the chest wall muscles. But we still see the majority of the breast, and you still want to have a mammogram to look at whatever you can see.
Mm-hmm. So there may be some decrease in sensitivity, but certainly it's required.
It's still worthwhile doing, obviously. So if you say, well, my sensitivity drops 10-20%, well, that's still better than not having anything done.
If your wife had breast implants, and would you consider ultrasound of the breast? And that's if there's some family history, for example.
No, I okay. think the literature and experience over the past 34 years lets us know that mammography on a wide-scale population is the best test that we have. Ultrasound has its place, but in general, ultrasound is best employed when either by feeling the breast or on a mammogram an abnormality is seen.
Okay.
And then ultrasound tells you whether it is a solid or cystic finding, and that's very helpful. But to screen the breast, we don't yet have proof or literature supporting widespread use of ultrasound for picking up cancers. It's not very sensitive. We probably would pick up 20-30% of cancers if we used only ultrasonography.
Okay. But if there's a questionable lesion that is being followed, then ultrasound may have a role to play?
That's the ultrasound's key role.
Okay.
And I should say, because ultrasound doesn't use radiation,
mm-hmm.
it uses sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
In general, we tend to employ ultrasound as much as possible the younger the patient is.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it's not uncommon that a 20- or 30-year-old woman will feel a lump. We'll often just do an ultrasound first, and then if we find that what she's feeling is a cyst, that has fluid in it, and it's benign, as ultrasound shows, we won't go. We'll stop there.
I see.
There's no need to do a mammogram in her.
Okay. On the line is Barbara from Reddington Shores. Barbara, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you. My question is there more? Are we getting more radiation with the digital than with a regular mammogram?
No, no. If anything, you're getting less radiation for various reasons. But one reason is that because the film, because we can post-process the digital images, we can take what might have been a bad mammogram before, bad in the sense that we couldn't interpret. It was too white or too dark. And and we don't have to repeat films nearly as much with digital mammography. So, no, you're getting less.
So you basically can clean it up,
yes.
The study up, and have a clear view, whereas with conventional mammography, there could be some difficulty interpreting what you're seeing.
Right. And in addition, the inherent quality of the digital technique is one that allows you to image with lower radiation dose than a conventional film stream mammogram.
Nice.
Thank you. That's good to know.
You're quite welcome.
Any other questions, Barbara?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Ted, let's talk a little bit about breast MRI. How long has it been available? What's so great about it? And so on.
Breast MRI has been available in one form or another for, I would say, 15 years, almost 20. But it really didn't take off until the early 2000, 2002, 2003. The advantage of breast MRI is that the density of the breasts doesn't seem to affect it nearly the way that it does mammography. And in an MRI, it is, if you will, a tomographic technique that doesn't superimpose the front to the back of the breast or the left to the right side. It can actually look and find individual slices of the breast. And one other key factor, whereas in mammography, we're looking for lumps, we're looking for masses, the identifiable circumscribed areas that stand out from normal breast tissue. And MRI, we're looking for that as well, but we are looking for another thing that no other modality allows us to see, and that is the blood flow pattern to the nodule. The reason that's important is that one of the characteristics that most kinds of cancers have is that they have a blood supply that tries to feed the tumor. And if you think of a tumor, it's a parasite, and it makes factors that increase the blood vessels feeding into it because it's trying to do what tumors do, which is to grow disproportionately to the rest of the body. So what we do with MRI by injecting contrast into the bloodstream and then monitoring how the blood flow gets to that area in the breast, we can use another characteristic that until this point has been untapped to find cancer. So we're basically looking for lesions or tumors that have more blood than normal breast tissue and a particular kind of blood flow pattern that's more typical of cancers than normal breast tissue.
So what I'm hearing there is that in addition to identifying an anatomic
exactly.
abnormality, now we're actually getting into the physiology and in how these tissues are functioning. In this case, is there augmented blood flow indicative, suggestive of a potential malignancy?
Steve, you've paraphrased it very nicely. I wish I had said it as well as you did, but that's exactly the point.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to throw something out again, and this is I'm referring to a PET scan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would you – I've never heard of PET scanning being done on – maybe I'm wrong on actually looking at the breast itself as opposed to, I guess – well, you tell me. Are breast PET scans even – are done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And again, let me just back up because I know you and I know what PET scan is, but I think if we're listening – in the audience, they hear PET scan, they're probably thinking mm-hmm. we're imaging their cats and dogs. But no, it's an acronym for positron emission tomography, and it's a form of same kind of imaging that we talked about, a combination of looking at the shape of masses, and in addition, looking at masses that at their physiology. With positron emission tomography, we inject